inappropriate pro wrestling show in the motherfucking world. Woo!
You don't know what hard times are, Daddy.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
You just made the list.
This right here is a family.
Hey, this is professional wrestler and professional podcaster Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
My name is Killer Cross.
This is the Smoke Show, Scarlett Bordeaux.
What's up, guys? You have the Machine, Brian Cage.
This is Ryan from Pro Wrestling Tees.
Sadly, you are not listening to The Art of Wrestling, but you made a decent choice because you're listening.
You are now listening to...
When you're listening...
And you're listening to...
Did you listen to Breaking Down the Ring?
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring.
Breaking Down the Ring. Break it down!
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the most inappropriate pro wrestling show in the motherfucking world. You're listening to Breaking Down the Ring, and we are your ring crew.
What's up, fuckers? Smitty's back.
And me, the almighty one, Mikey himself. Special episode, WWE draft. That's it. That's all we're talking about. What was good? What was bad? What was the fuck going on in some of this stuff? We got all the picks from night one, we got all the picks from night two, and we got all the picks from Smack Talk and Raw Talk to go over. So we will start off with night one, beginning on SmackDown. The number one overall pick in the WWE draft was for SmackDown, and they chose to keep the Universal Champion Roman Reigns. The number two pick, no surprise, the WWE champion Big E staying on Raw. SmackDown then picked Raw Women's Champion Charlotte Flair to come over to from Raw. And then Raw picked Bianca Belair to come over from SmackDown. So your first two SmackDown picks are Roman Reigns and Charlotte Flair. And your first two Raw picks are Big E and Bianca Belair. Now, this seems surprising, mainly because Bianca Belair was drafted before even Becky Lynch was. So immediately you start thinking, well, Becky's got to go in the next round. Becky doesn't go, spoiler, until night two on Raw. We'll get where she went then. So Smitty, let's start with these first picks right here. Roman Reigns staying on SmackDown, E staying on Raw, Charlotte to SmackDown.
He shifted to Raw.
Huh?
E shifted to Raw. He was a SmackDown superstar when he cashed in.
Yeah, but because he became the WWE champion, he was then a Raw superstar. He chose his belt to go over with when he picked the Money in the Bank championship. He chose to go to Raw then, so he was a Raw superstar by being the WWE champion. Therefore, he stayed on Raw. So, Roman staying on SmackDown, E staying on Raw, Charlotte Flair now on SmackDown, and Bianca Belair now on Raw. What are your thoughts on the first four picks? Obviously, number one's not a surprise. Number two is also not a surprise. But three and four, those are a little bit of shocks.
Yeah, three and four shocked me because after the way everything went later down the line, I kind of see a pattern of what they're doing there. But especially like the whole, like, I like Bianca Belair. I think she's had a great 2020 and 2021. I still don't think it's like she, like, yeah, Becky should have been there, but I guess they kept the whole Becky thing because they needed some big first round pick for night two.
Yeah, but even in this, the vein of Bianca coming over, I think that says more about the stock that they have in her rather than what they needed to do to keep Becky as a big spot onto Raw's draft pick. I understand that normally we've seen the champion, obviously the top two champions always go 1 and 2. As a matter of fact, actually, no. Wasn't there a year that Charlotte went number one?
So Seth Rollins went number one a couple years back too.
Wasn't he the WWE champion?
Nope. This one, Lesnar was still champion.
Okay. Well, yeah, Lesnar. I'm more shocked that they want Bianca on Raw because I felt like she is a national draw. You know what I'm saying? But I guess they're trying to keep Bianca and Charlotte away from each other for a while, which kind of makes sense, even though they did the fucking match at the end of Raw this week. But disqualification, Becky interrupted, Sasha jumped in, whatever. But it feels like keeping Bianca away from Charlotte seems to be the plan for now, as in build her up, hand her to the queen, lose to the queen. And I feel like a major loss to Charlotte, once she's built up and established, is going to be a massive rub for her.
I can agree with that if they build her up the right way.
Which, let's be very honest, WWE has the best building brand of all time. It's like the opposite of Lego. All right, round two. SmackDown. Drew McIntyre is going from Raw to SmackDown. Then Raw picks the Raw Tag Team Champions of Randy Orton and Riddle to stay on Raw. SmackDown then takes Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods from Raw to go to SmackDown. And then Raw picks Edge to come over from SmackDown. So the only one that stayed on brand in round two was Randy Orton and Matt Riddle. I refuse to just say Riddle. Drew McIntyre, Kofi, and Xavier Woods all go to Raw while Edge goes to SmackDown while Edge goes to Raw. Smitty, your thoughts on this second round?
So it seemed like they were setting up the whole Drew McIntyre getting drafted over to SmackDown thing for a few couple of weeks now. He's been losing random matches, and the draft is supposed to be kind of like a fresh restart for certain people. And when Big E came over, I had a feeling they were going to split those three apart from each other so they could establish East as a singles champion.
Insightful, Smitty. Very, very insightful. I have a major problem with Drew McIntyre going to SmackDown. My thought process on Drew McIntyre going to SmackDown is you're putting him there to feed him to Roman Reigns, to give Roman Reigns a little bit more power to fight to get to WrestleMania, because as it currently stands, the thought process, the hope is Rock and Roman at a WrestleMania. They're really, really trying for this one, because what the hell else do they have for Roman? They were trying to, from everything I heard, they wanted Brock at this Mania, but everyone's so pissed at them for their ratings that they're rushing all of these things. Even the draft was set up like last minute. Some of these picks were last minute is the thoughts coming out from the back. Granted, some of that is Meltzer, and Meltzer is really good at being wrong. He's the Smitty of the wrestling world, the popular wrestling world, we just have the regular Smitty right here on Breaking Down the Ring. Always wrong, all the time. And
I push merch, yo.
Hey, I'm not saying you don't push merch. You also push merch we don't have. Smitty's like, I push merch. Smitty buys all the merch. That's not pushing merch, bro.
I actually don't buy it all.
Whatever. Anyway, Drew McIntyre being fed to Roman Reigns, not a good idea in my book.
But I don't think he's there to feed him to. I think he'll keep him away as long as possible, and he'll be the guy to actually beat Roman if they can't get what they want out of Rock.
I want to bet you all the money in the fucking world that no matter when Drew McIntyre faces Roman Reigns, he's losing. There's no way. There's no way Drew McIntyre is the guy that's going to beat Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns looks unstoppable right now. And I will be very honest when I say this, there is no fucking reason Roman Reigns is the Universal Champion right now, because if he's doing stuff with Brock, that feud doesn't need the belt. The smartest time to take it off of him was with Finn Balor, but unfortunately, Finn Balor's dick collapsed the top rope at Extreme Rules. Now, that being said, Edge going to Monday night instead of on Friday night on SmackDown. Seth Rollins eventually follows him, but again, these draft picks are starting the day after Crown Jewel, October 22nd. Crown Jewel is Thursday the 21st. So SmackDown, the first episode of SmackDown after Crown Jewel is when these draft picks officially take place. So it really doesn't fucking matter what's going on right now on what brand, because it can continue for two more weeks, which is so fucking fun to think about. Two and a half more weeks, because yeah, we're talking 2 weeks and 3 days for Crown Jewel. So even though, and exasperated even more by Seth Rollins this tonight on Raw, when he was being interviewed, they were like, don't talk about him. That stuff for SmackDown on Raw. It's time to party. Let's go get some pints. The King of Drip is pretty sweet. I'm not going to even argue that. That's a gimmick. So keeping Edge and Seth together, just, I don't get it. Like,
they still got that rubber match. It seems that they got to get out the way.
The rubber match is going to fucking happen at Crown Jewel, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this, I guess.
Yeah, so what's the, that's what I'm afterwards. Saying.
Yeah. That just goes back to the point of, like, it was dumb. It was dumb to rush the draft like this.
I don't even care about the rushing of the draft. I just don't understand the purpose of keeping them on the thing, on the same the brand.
Because WWE has a habit of when they run out of ideas of falling back on something that has had semi or has been successful prior to.
Right, because let's keep this going. Round three. SmackDown keeps Happy Baron Corbin and Madcap Moss, Riddick Moss. On SmackDown, Raw keeps Nikki A.S.H. and Rhea Ripley. Then the first NXT, I guess you could say call up. I think it's stupid to say it's a call up. Hit Row, B-Fab, Brianna, Brandy, Ashante, The Adonis, Top Dollar, AJ Francis, and the NXT North American Champion, Isaiah Swerve Scott. They're coming up from NXT to SmackDown. Yeah, SmackDown. Yep. And then Raw keeps Keith Cincinnati Bearcat Lee to stay on Raw. Your thoughts on round three, Smitty? Please elaborate a little further than you did last time. Like, you know, five sentences this time.
Okay. So I was really interested with the Hit Row pickup. I'm a fan of Isaiah Swerve Scott, and I think the gimmick that they've had and they've run on NXT, the whole pretty much Death Row Records deal, it worked pretty well over there. I kind of want to see how it runs on the main roster at this point, how this gimmick is going to be treated, and how these group of talented, like B-Fab is kind of green, so I'm kind of so-so on her. But everybody else in this group, I've seen.
I like how you say talented impressive. And then go, she's really green, though. Isn't AJ green? Like, Top Dollar. Isn't he green? I mean, the most we've seen of him before he showed up on NXT was when he was on the WWE matches. Hidden Treasures thing on A&E.
So the thing about Top Dollar is he's pretty much been nothing but multi-man matches most of the time since we've seen him. So you got people in there covering, like he's had a lot of people cover for his shortcomings, where we've seen B-Fab in singles action.
Right. But still.
The whole Keith Bearcat Lee thing, I guess it's supposed to be a tribute and homage to a great African-American wrestler from back in the day. And I'm trying to give it time to develop and figure out what I think about it.
I'm one of the people that don't hate these nicknames that some of them get, just for the simple fact that it, you know, one, I get it. WWE, like 100%, If they couldn't get the trademark for Keith Lee, Keith Bearcat Lee, they have the trademark for, right? So anything going on with that, they're 100% just trying to make sure that they have the money, that people aren't going to be using the name that they gave them or the fame they gave them with their name to other people, to other companies, if the people leave. Granted, Keith Lee built himself up before that. I'm not trying to say that he didn't, because obviously we have talked about him in Evolve. We have talked about him in other things. His name was built by himself. I'm not arguing that. But like when Sting came in and he was the original icon and now Goldberg's the icon, it's just, it's a tag for WWE to make merchandise. Does it work? Not all the time. I don't give a shit about the Bearcat because I feel like Keith Lee is kind of resembles that. I mean, unless you're going to go with like a panda, right? Like a bear type thing, but he has that, you know, aggressive side to him when, cause when he goes anyway, getting away from the Bearcat thing, staying on Raw, I think is a good thing. Help build him up, give him time to be established. You know, one of the best things that WWE ever or did, excuse me. One of the best things that WWE has ever done was build talent back during the Attitude Reality era, Ruthless Aggression type things. You know, they built The Rock to face Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, then there was that little hiccup in between that time. And then eventually we saw John Cena get built. Like, they know how to build people when they want to build people. And then they kind of stopped doing that. So I'm hoping with the slow, give it time, eventually get a singles title, maybe do some tag stuff, you know, float around, then get into the championship things. Hopefully not as long as it took E and Kofi Kingston to get in that conversation. But I can see Keith Lee 5 years down the line probably being someone that WWE hangs their hat on if they keep him and he doesn't go somewhere else. As far as Hit Row, meh. It's a faction, right? It's a faction that when they're called up, I literally sit back and go, you brought this faction up, but you couldn't figure out anything to do with Undisputed Era when they were in NXT, you know, or Insanity, right? Or Insanity the proper way, you know, at least they brought up Insanity. They didn't even bring up Undisputed Era. You know, I feel like you had more establishment with those names, and you take this one that's just like, what, they've been around 2-3 months in NXT?
They've been around about 3 months in NXT, and yeah. Isaiah Swerve Scott's been around for about 2 years.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'll give you 2 years. It's Swerve showed up shortly after the pandemic when Evolve let him go. So it was like right around about a year and a half. But still, I'm talking about the faction as a whole. You didn't bring up Undisputed Era, but you're bringing up Hit Row. Okay, whatever. We'll see what you do with them. I was meh on them in NXT. I'm meh on them now. I'm not saying they're going to suck. I'm not saying they're going to be great. I'm saying whatever. But currently, yeah. The other two picks, Corbin, Moss, Rhea and Nikki, cool. Nothing's really changed with them. Round four, SmackDown takes Naomi to stay on SmackDown. Raw takes Rey and Dominic Mysterio to come from SmackDown. Then SmackDown picks Jeff Hardy to come from Raw. And Raw picks the next NXT call-up, the one, the only, Austin Theory. apparently, it took him 13 minutes to get there. Anyway. Naomi is a draft pick in the final round on SmackDown. Four rounds. Naomi is the first of the final round to be drafted. She is the third singles competitor for the women. So you had Bianca, Charlotte, then Bianca, now Naomi. I feel like this is another swerve. Like, we got to throw another woman in this. Do you feel like anything's going to happen with Naomi now from this pick? Or do you just feel like, wow, they took Naomi and not Becky?
Seeing what's been happening on SmackDown the last couple of weeks.
No.
Unless it leads to a return of Sonya Deville back to the ring, because that's what it seems like they're trying to build toward.
Oh, yeah, that thing.
It makes no sense. Unless that is what you, unless you're going to continue this story with her and Sonya.
But you can keep that on SmackDown.
Well, that's why she got drafted to SmackDown. And Sonya was like, I don't even want to say her name.
I mean, sorry, I'm sorry. You could have kept that going without it being a draft pick. I'm sorry. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, you could have.
So it's literally just to get the Sonya to say. Going. Okay. Jeff Hardy, SmackDown. Austin Theory is the next call, the NXT call up. I don't give a shit about anyone in round four. Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, it's a weird thing going on. Made me fall out of the giving a shit about the team. Naomi, again, if it's just to get her to say she doesn't even want to say the name, cool. Austin Theory, not a fan of, haven't been a fan of ever since all the allegations, ever since it just kind of been swept under the rug. And Jeff Hardy was just running around recently for the fucking 24/7 title. So cool. I know you said, like you were saying earlier, this is kind of like a fresh start for everyone, but I mean, what are you going to do with Jeff Hardy? Jeff Hardy hasn't been popular out of a tag team in years. You took away the thing that did give him his popularity. He's now back to exactly what you had. It's like, I love watching the Hardy Boys from the Attitude Era wrestle in 2020 and 2021. Let his gimmick evolve. He's literally still in the Hot Topic pants.
Well, recently he said something on the podcast about wanting to bring back the Willow character into WWE.
Yeah.
And I thought about that. Let's see how well that works.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Go ahead. Bring in something that got really popular in Impact Wrestling. See how it flies.
It didn't get popular in Impact Wrestling.
That's true. But again, that's where I'm sorry. Bring in. Yeah, fine. Bring in something that debuted in Impact. Dumb. Anyway, so then you got the picks that happened on Talking Smack. Raw kept Akira Tozawa. Lita came up from NXT to SmackDown. Alpha Academy went from SmackDown to Raw. Then SmackDown took Drew Gulak from Raw. Then Raw took Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz from SmackDown. SmackDown then took Mace to come over from Raw. Yes, they split up Mace and T-Bar, guys. I know everyone is really devastated right now. I am so sorry for your loss. Then Raw took Doudrop to stay on Raw. SmackDown then had Mansoor come over from Raw. Raw picked Drake Maverick to stay on Raw. SmackDown took Mustafa Ali to come over from Raw, which is just weird because they're a fucking tag team and they took him separately. Okay. Sounds all right to me. Then Raw. Oh, here we go. Raw picked John Morrison to stay on Raw. SmackDown picks Toni Storm to stay on SmackDown. Raw picked Nia Jax to stay on Raw. Then 24/7 champion Reggie to stay on Raw, R-Truth to stay on Raw, T-Bar to stay on Raw, and Zelina Vega to come over from SmackDown.
I thought Reggie was already on SmackDown because when he debuted, he was Carmella's wine connoisseur guy.
Yeah, then he left and he was hanging out with Nia Jax, who was a Raw superstar. He was never really, he was just a manager. He was never really a superstar.
Okay. Yeah, this is confusing me. Okay.
Have all the fun you want with it. It's WWE. If you think it's about to make any fucking sense, go fuck yourself. Literally. Yeah. If you're trying to make sense, you might as well go ask for change for a penny at the store. Yes, I would like to make some more sense of this. There's no more to make. Night two then happened on Raw. And round one, which, look, it's not round one anymore. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're trying to do a sports style thing, it's not round one. It's night two. Night two means it's round fucking seven. Right? Round five. Sorry. Round fucking five. But whatever. WWE logic. They don't know how to count. Round one. Raw taking SmackDown Women's Champion Becky Lynch to come over from SmackDown. SmackDown then kept the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos. Raw picked Bobby Lashley to stay on Raw. SmackDown picked Sasha Banks to stay on SmackDown. So officially, the triple threat at Crown Jewel is the SmackDown Women's Champion, Raw Superstar Becky Lynch, and Raw Superstar Bianca Belair, and SmackDown superstar Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship that's on Raw in Saudi Arabia. Round one, Smitty, on Raw. You go ahead and you tell me.
You pretty much nailed that part on that. Just nailed that on the head with the crown jewel SmackDown Women's title thing. And the Usos being considered a top draft pick on night two. Just kind of still. They could have went second round just like RK-Bro. So
first off, they're in the top storyline on SmackDown. I'm going to kind of argue this with you. They're in the top storyline on SmackDown right now. They weren't drafted on SmackDown. There was a massive storyline with Roman telling Paul Heyman
make sure that he
kept the Usos on SmackDown. They did. Then there was even an interview in the back where, because obviously what Brock Lesnar said on SmackDown, he was like, I'm a free agent thanks to the negotiating skills of Paul Heyman. Then when the mic guy interviewed Heyman and the Usos on Raw, he said, of course, not only am I here for the tribal chief, I'm the warden for the Uso penitentiary. And then the guy goes, is that how you also kept Brock Lesnar as a free agent? And, you know, to feed into that storyline, then the Usos stare him down. So top storyline deserves top round picks. But I'll say this then, who should have SmackDown taken with their number ones? But you think it should have been Becky Lynch, then Sasha Banks, then Bobby Lashley, then someone else?
I think Sasha would have been better than Usos at that number one.
Okay, well then who would you have put at number two? Would you have taken Shinsuke at number two? The dude only had an entrance at WrestleMania. Why would they make him a round one pick?
See, honestly, I really feel like both those mid-card titles are stuck in the shuffle. That's why they ended up where they are on Raw tonight.
Second round? They're both second round picks.
Yeah, because they ended up...
Technically, the IC title is SmackDown's third pick, and the United States Championship is Raw's fourth pick. I don't think that's a bad spot.
I don't think Shinsuke should have been drafted above Sasha or the Usos. I would have said the Usos did go second in that first round. I think that would have been better if you reversed those SmackDown picks.
Okay, so you still think first round, just maybe have the Usos after. Okay, again, if that's the case, then I would have just kept them at where they were because they are the top thing. Unless you did some sort of something where they were about to announce something for Raw's second pick and Heyman runs out, says something, and then it switched to Bobby Lashley and then Usos. I could have seen that, some sort of playing that angle. All right, I would have allowed that. Round two, Seth Rollins comes over to Raw from SmackDown. SmackDown keeps the IC title and its champion, Shinsuke Nakamura, with Rick Boogs. Raw then keeps Damian Priest and the United States Championship. And then SmackDown takes Sheamus to come over from Raw. Do we think this is a good thing for Sheamus? New change of scenery. He's fucking showing up on the show again with Cesaro. Spoiler. Are we looking for some sort of jump for Sheamus here?
Well, this is it early. Like, I may be beating a dead horse, but it's a restart for Sheamus. I was tired of seeing him and Priest, and tired of seeing him and Hardy and all of this stuff on Raw. He's one of those guys I feel needed a fresh start, and maybe this shift we can give him, breathe some new life in on.
I'm excited for it. I actually wouldn't mind seeing him and Cesaro join back up and do something with the tag team championships because, yeah.
Yeah, you haven't seen him and Cesaro, almost 2 years now together? Mm-hmm. So what better time than now to bring back the bar?
All right, round three. Raw keeps AJ Styles and Omos, whatever they call him. SmackDown then takes Shayna Baszler from Raw Raw then takes Kevin Owens from SmackDown, and your first NXT call up, I say that with all the air quotes in the world, SmackDown taking Xia Li to come from NXT. So let's talk about the Xia Li thing, Smitty. Good, bad?
I think it's bad because Xia Li was in the middle of an angle down there, and they just kind of is like, what are you going to do with that now?
Yeah.
So even like even Hit Row, the Hit Row thing is like, I feel like they're going to finish out that still with Santos.
Remember, they have until October 22nd.
Which means within the next 2 weeks, Isaiah Swerve Scott will be dropping that that North American title to Santos Pablo Escobar.
Whoa. No cocaine over there, mi familia.
Not all the cocaine. Fuck off. We got Scarface room in here. But yeah, so the whole Xia Li, like, and Xia Li was kind of a linchpin to her angle. The difference with her and the Hit Row thing is Hit Row, you're just taking a whole, you're just pretty much damaging, like, you're just pretty much deleting a feud. A whole angle that was happening in NXT is getting hurt because the linchpin in your whole trio was just going away.
You said lynch.
Yeah.
Shayna Baszler to SmackDown from Raw. Good call, bad call. What do you say, Smith?
Thank fucking God.
Yeah.
And over the last couple of weeks, she started displaying the Shayna Baszler she should have been since day fucking one.
Are we hoping that that's what we get? And it's going to be her taking the title off of Charlotte?
It should be. And honestly, I also think that as much as I hate the 50-50 booking, yeah, that's what you're going to get from it. You're like, Shayna's going to lose the first one off of some type of bullshit shenanigan. And when Shayna gets it, that third match, it should be for the title. And that's where Shayna, they should just execute it. But we got to keep building this killer Shayna before we even talk about Charlotte versus Shayna.
Fully agree with that. Fully agree with that. Kevin Owens just going to Raw to lose some more before he leaves his contract?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I feel too. Round four. Raw kicks it off by taking Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits from SmackDown. And then SmackDown takes the Viking Raiders, Eric and Ivar from Raw. Then Raw takes Finn Balor and his massive dick to come over from SmackDown. And then SmackDown takes Ricochet from Raw. Round four took somebody, flipped every person's position on the brand. Is this finally something Ricochet can sink his teeth into? Because I'll be very honest, I feel like he is the most underutilized superstar that WWE has. He is a main roster guy. Every time he goes out, he has good matches. His matches incite excitement. You can talk all you want about the flippy dippy stuff and how people don't, how some people don't like that. They want wrestling matches or there's no story when you get all that stuff. Ricochet has always pulled both in and made it really good. Hell, one of the best moves of all time was a flippy dippy thing where he's doing a fucking, God damn it. Why can't I think of what the word of it is?
Like a 720?
No, not the 720. When he, jumped off the bottom, the second rope, and then Adam Cole kicked him.
Oh, that spot.
Yeah, in NXT, right? But it was
that order complete when he completely cleared the rope in front of Velveteen Dream and landed on his fucking feet.
Right, right, right. It's all storyline involved in the excitement of a flip, an aerial, something like that. Ricochet has needed a lot more attention given to him. He should be at having a mid-card title run at some point in WWE, like a real run. What are we hoping? Are we thinking that moving to SmackDown will get more eyes on him and make people pay attention? Because that's what I'm hoping.
I'm hoping that for sure. But we've seen, like, over the last, let's just say the last year, year and a half, SmackDown has done a good job at building their mid card. And this is a chance for somebody like Ricochet to actually be able to do something really cool and something like you said, he's underutilized. And this is an opportunity. Once again, this draft is supposed to be, I hate using the term multiple times, refresh. He's one of the guys that needed it. Okay. Like Sheamus.
Finn Balor is on Raw now. I don't want to talk about the Extreme Rules match. If I wanted to talk about the Extreme Rules match, we would have done a show on the Extreme Rules. But I'm just living vicariously through Adam Pacitti's tweet, where Finn Balor's massive dick is the reason that the top rope collapsed. It just could no longer handle it after all of those other superstars doing things off the top rope throughout the entire night of Extreme Rules. It finally gave way to Finn Balor's massive dick. Do you see anything good for him? Because I'll be very honest, I don't. There has been nothing good for him on the main roster since injuring his shoulder at SummerSlam when he became the first ever Universal Champion. I have not seen anything to where I felt something sustained could go. Because I'm not trying to take away from his Intercontinental run or anything like that. I'm talking sustained. Like, the demon character was the last thing that they had of his that was had a mystique to it that just at Extreme Rules. And
you shed on it. Yeah, I got it.
I feel like he's just going to Raw to get buried in a 3-hour show. What do you think, Smith?
The writing was on the wall when they put him with Reigns as soon as they did. I felt like that was the writing on the wall right there.
And that's what sucks, because I thought that was the greatest reason to take the title off of Reigns was Lesnar's back. Lesnar should he made the challenge. Roman should have said, no, I'm not doing shit with you. I'm going to worry about Finn Balor, and given some credence to that. And then Lesnar causes a massive distraction at Extreme Rules. Finn wins. Then you go into Crown Jewel. Finn could have been champion like CM Punk was champion. And you watch Roman in all of the top fucking spots, just like Cena. But you got the belt off him because he didn't need the belt. He was a big enough star to carry a main event even without a title. That's what Roman is right now. And then him and Brock Lesnar at Crown Jewel doesn't need a belt. I thought that was the perfect thing, the perfect reason to do this. So I don't want to say I thought the writing was, I don't want to agree with that writing was on the wall. I think the writing was on the wall more of the perfect reason to take the belt off, the perfect way to take the belt off of Roman without making him look weak.
For some reason, I thought it was too soon to put Finn right there in that position. And they felt like they already booked themselves into a corner because they already had the Crown Jewel event already booked.
All right.
So it already felt like a throwaway. It felt like a throwaway match more than a main event anyway at Extreme Rules.
Finn would have won, it would not have been a throwaway match. Round number 5. Karrion Kross stays on Raw. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza move from Raw to SmackDown. Raw keeps Alexa Bliss, and Cesaro stays on SmackDown. Anything pop out to you in this round?
No, not really. The only thing I may have a little interest in is Carrillo and Garza. This is still something new, and I'm going over there. Maybe we can establish a legit tag team, a legit kind of
tag division.
Yeah.
That is what stuck out to me with this round. When you're bringing in Carrillo and Garza, you have the Viking Raiders coming over. You have Sheamus coming over, which could very well mean that the bar comes back together. And then even from, the first night, when you're bringing in Hit Row, there's still a tag team involved in that, right?
Yep, and you got the New Day coming over too.
New Day coming over as well. There's
Ali and Mansoor.
Yeah, Ali and Mansoor were in the Smack Talk picks. There's a real possibility that they're doing something in the tag division, and round 5 on Raw is what really made me think of it, because they really did their best to build Carrillo and Humberto and Garza and negate a lot of the things that, people say, bro, they're not even a tag team. They never tagged before. And there's but they're cousins and they've, have the chemistry. And it's okay, good job with the commentary showing why these guys are a tag team, even though that they've, had their problems in WWE, and they literally said they've been cousins their entire life. And it wasn't until WWE where each of them were trying to go for their own thing, realizing, hey, let's work together. Oh, okay. Good job. Normally I will shit all over the fucking commentary, but that was a great job showing why these two are together. So that is what stuck out to me in round five from Raw, is hopefully we get a decent tag division on SmackDown from this. Round six, Raw took Carmella from SmackDown. SmackDown saw the next NXT call up, Ridge Holland. Went from hanging out with Pete Dunne. Now he's on SmackDown. Then Raw, if you had no idea what the dirt sheets were saying, took probably the most surprising pick, the Olympic gold medalist Gable Steveson. He's gonna change his name, or we're gonna get Shorty G again. I promise you. Because when I first said Gable, I was like, they already took him. Oh, Gable Steveson. All right. And then the final pick on TV for the draft, SmackDown keeps Sami Zayn. Let's talk Gable Steveson, because that's really the big thing to come out of the round six, and final round on television. What are your thoughts here, Smitty?
Yeah, the whole Gable Steveson, I originally just thought, what the fuck, originally. And it's one of those things, like I mentioned with the Hit Row thing, I mentioned that B-Fab is fairly green, and you mentioned that Top Dollar's also fairly green. Gable Steveson, what are they going to do with this guy?
He's gold.
Okay. But I can easily see a story that writes itself as him joining up an Alpha Academy. I can easily see that story write itself, and you working something with that. But outside of that, well, how are they going to utilize this guy? Could he be the next Kurt Angle? Possibly. But we won't know until we actually get him in the ring and see what he can do.
True. And then the final picks from Monday Night Raw talk. Dana Brooke stays on Raw. Ziggler and Rude come to Raw from SmackDown. Jackson Ryker stays on Raw. Veer stays on Raw. Liv Morgan comes over from SmackDown. And Mia Yim stays on Raw. Sorry. Tamina Snuka comes. They're going to play some pool later. Tamina comes over from SmackDown. Tegan Knox comes to Raw from SmackDown. And then Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander stay on Raw. And Miz stays on Raw. Then Jinder Mahal and Shanky go to SmackDown from Raw. Natalya stays on SmackDown. And SmackDown also takes Shotzi Blackheart to stay on the SmackDown. Broke up a couple teams right there.
They like doing that type of thing.
I think it's a good thing, especially for Tegan and Shotzi.
Or Tegan and Shotzi, yeah, because you weren't doing, like, you just kind of dropped the ball with them in the first place. So that one kind of made sense. The whole Sheiky and Veer split with Jinder, I don't know how that's going to work.
Same.
Keeping her business together is probably best for our business. Right now,
best for business.
I got my gripes with how about the Hurt Business getting back together, but I'm happy they're back together.
Right.
Honestly, did the last couple rounds of the draft and supplementary picks, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call them, nothing really. Everything's just meh.
Does the draft make you want to watch either of these shows any more than you already have?
A little more interested in seeing what they do on SmackDown and Raw. I also feel like Raw, to a certain degree, just picked up a lot of SmackDown's ongoing stories, and they're probably going to keep them going after Crown Jewel, because we need another 200 rematches before New Year.
Hell yeah, we do.
And I feel like SmackDown really did get somewhat of a reset button, almost, especially with the tag teams and whatnot. And we still got people like Bayley, who's still out, who's obvious. I'm assuming he's going to stay on SmackDown. We'll see what we can do with that.
We should see. The women.
I'm interested to see what, like, Shotzi Blackheart, Ridge Holland are going to bring to the table. Interested to see how to do a Hit Row. There's a lot of fresh faces you're going to see on SmackDown. So I'm interested in, I think I'm just a little bit more interested in that one. And please do something with fucking Toni Storm finally.
Please. All right. Neither, nothing makes me give a shit anymore about WWE than what was given a shit about prior to this. I feel like we're going to see a lot of the same rematches over and over again. We'll see what we get. Maybe they don't. Maybe they finally figure out that people want to watch a show that's a fresh show, not the same fucking thing over and over and over again. Even the best television shows have changed over time. Hell, man, look at fucking Law and Order SVU. It's the same fucking concept every goddamn show, but every fucking show is different from the last one. So people watch.
Yeah, the years. Simpsons.
Look at The Simpsons. Look at all that. Just Jesus. All right. That's fucking it for us. I'm fucking done. Fuck WWE. No, just kidding. Kind of.
Funny things. I'm in the same boat as you. You know this.
Right. It's getting really, really rough. Make sure you check out Impact. Bullet Club is all over Impact. That's it for us, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you check out BreakingDownTheRing.com. Go get yourself some fucking merch. We got some brand new shit up there right now. It's pretty fucking awesome. Go check it out. BreakingDownTheRing.com. We are your ring crew.
This lady's back.
And me, the almighty one, Mikey himself. Thank you again so much for watching, listening. We are.